Pickaxe.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long-forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season, or arc, has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
Hello, and welcome back to The Review of Death, a Doctor Who podcast and your fortnightly home for Doctor Who news and reviews. I'm Matthew Toffolo. I'm joined as ever by Billy Garrett-John. How you doing, bud?
Oh, good, thank you, mate. Twice in as many weeks. You've never had so many rods up you.
I know. Crazy, isn't it?
Crazy.
Trailer within a fortnight. Mad.
I know. And nice to have like a BBC exclusive one, because obviously all the talk has been about Disney.
Yeah.
But, you know, that one country that just has to keep up the age-old traditions, it's got to be the UK that's the difficult one.
I assume, given the conversation we had last time about the use of music and the use of the rights of music and home release and stuff, I assume this will be the DVD version of the trailer.
I think so. I mean, if that's the only reason they released this, I wouldn't be totally shocked. But there were some extra snippets. There were some extra bits and bobs that went down. And of course, we got the 8 episode titles as well.
Yeah. So, shall we talk about how that was, how they were released?
Yeah. So really cool. They did all these cool 4-second little graphic teasers. And they're really useful, I think. It's almost in a kind of Who Spy vein.
Yeah.
They kind of give you the vibe, they give you the atmosphere, but they don't give too much away.
Yeah.
And give you the sort of visual flair for what's coming up. So there's a couple of things I've sort of pulled out looking at them that maybe we don't glean from the trailer.
Right.
But yeah, we'll go through the trailer maybe, and then we'll do the episode titles afterwards.
Cool. Sounds good. Right. Let's whack this trailer up, shall we? So we got Doctor Who talking to the camera.
We have got Doctor Who. That's a nice return to the age old, you know, do you want to come with me?
Yeah.
All that.
Yeah.
Remember the David one? What was David talking about? He was going on about some waffle.
He said, do you think you've seen it all?
Oh, yeah. Well, check this out. It's nice to get back into the swing of the Down the Lens trailers.
Yeah. Were they the last one? Oh, no, they did the Day of the Doctor ones. Matt Smith sort of talked to the camera, didn't he, in the Day of the Doctor ones, I think.
There was some George Shred. He posted a dropped trailer for Day of the Doctor with Matt in the TARDIS doing the I've been running all my lives and doing all that stuff, and he was doing it straight down the barrel, which was quite interesting.
Oh, cool. It was never released. Oh, weird. Oh, I'm gonna have to look that up.
Yeah,
sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's good, it's cool.
All right, well, let's have a look then. Let's see what Doctor Who's got to say to us this time. I'll put the subtitles on. So what does he say? You ready for this? So TARDIS going to unit. We got Shuti Gatwa. Oh god, I've spun on far too quickly there. We've got Shuti Gatwa in silhouette from the Beatles. We've got the shot of the flat, TARDIS ruining the ceiling.
Unbelievable. How much do you reckon that is?
Oh god. You know, a few grand, I reckon.
Yeah. I think you might have to do something.
Yeah, it depends if it's
repoint the roof.
Yeah, if he's cocked up something structurally, like the beams or something, oh, then that's going to be a big job.
Nightmare.
Right, give me some loving again.
More loving.
Which we said, I wonder. Well, it looks like that is being directly addressed to Rose.
It looks like it, yeah, because there's a nice little coming together.
Yeah. How's that going to work? How are we going to... What's the conversation going to be here?
Mum told me everything.
And that's
it. I know that you can change your face. Okay, yeah. Great. Let's get on with the story. It'll be something like that.
Where's David Tennant? Who?
Who? Oh, we had some adventures on the planet Nastafarala labbing, you know, something, something Russell. Something Russell-y, something Flash Apple 2-5 Delta.
It sounded a bit like you were saying that we went to the planet Rastafari then.
I know. I don't know why that came out like that. Weird. But yeah, so I think definitely that's directed towards, Rose, because we get that nice coming together.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff based around UNIT and more sort of stuff from the finale.
Yes.
I'm guessing, because there's a shot a bit later on, we'll get to it, but that there's like two shooty outfits with the white t-shirt.
Yes.
And I'm trying to figure out whether they're from the same story or not, or what's going on there.
I think one of them might be the Stephen Moffat one.
Okay. Is that the combat trouser one?
Yes, I think. Okay. Well, we'll see. So lots of little flashes of winks and things. Say back, we're going to rock through time. Yeah.
Sure thing. Why
happy
not?
With that? Rocking through time.
Of all the episodes as well, when the titles dropped, I was sort of umming and ahhing the most about that dot and bubble one. But do you think that's the bubble planet we see straight after that? That line, that bubble over the city might be to do with that.
Oh, maybe. Maybe.
Also, the sort of the color palette from that graphic is kind of similar.
It is very similar. Yes.
Tones.
Yeah.
But, it could be. I saw a lot of people suggesting that maybe the dot and bubble is like a text message graphic.
Right. Okay.
So maybe with the city being bubbled, maybe that's like going to be Russell's social commentary episode. It's like everyone's isolated.
Yeah.
You know, no one's allowed to have their own opinions these days, are they? Everybody gets bloody cancelled. This will be the episode where everyone goes, oh, maybe Russell isn't on our side.
bubble city, whatever. New costume for the Doctor.
Yeah.
The beanie. I mean, obviously, we'd seen it leaked ages ago.
Yeah.
From very, very far away, but here it is in all its glory. Red beanie, yellow duffel coat. What do you think to that costume?
Mwah.
You like
I
that?
I think it's his best one, I think.
You think that's his best one?
I love
really?
It.
Really? Wow, okay. Yeah. That's.
I want that as an action figure.
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
What do you think?
It's fine. You know, I'm not, I have no strong views one way or the other on that one.
Do you think it's a bit more doctory? Because obviously a lot of people drawing parallels between previous duffel coats that have appeared in the series. What a sad, pathetic fandom this is. It's brilliant, isn't it? But I think it's, you know, with the colours and the kind of eccentricity of it, it's very shooty because it's very colourful, it's very statement, but also it's got a bit of British whimsy in there, a bit of Paddington Bear, you know?
Very much so. No, yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that's certainly one of the better ones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So another shot of these two from the Beatles episode, Devil's Chord.
Now, I'm gonna assume that's the rooftop of Abbey Road Studios. And there's a shot a little bit later on with Jinx Monsoon.
Yeah.
Which I found very interesting. I think that's also on the rooftop of Abbey Road.
Interesting.
I wonder if they will tell the story of the time John dropped acid in the studio and didn't realize that he dropped acid.
Right.
Or he smoked a cigarette. He didn't realize it was doped or it was laced with something. And he suddenly everybody went, John's been gone for a little while. And George Martin was sort of following some sort of trail of wherever John had wandered off to. And he went up to the roof of Abbey Road. And John was standing on the edge of the building. And, you know, one of those kind of, John, just step back very, very slowly sort of things. And he was just going, don't the stars look beautiful? You know, tripping balls and then led very slowly in with a blanket around him. So that might be what they're going up there to do. Maybe John's up there having a trip and they surprise him and he falls off the roof and time cocks up.
Oh, my God, they kill John Lennon.
They kill John Lennon early.
Yeah, oh my God. Oh, bloody hell. Well, there we go. And that's a musical episode.
Yeah. That's the musical flourish.
So then we've got the shot of the Doctor and his ladies jiving in the sound booth.
Bopping and jiving.
Nice spaceship shot there. Spaceship shot.
spaceship shot. Dreams. Probably space babies. I mean, quite reminiscent of End of the World, that shot.
Very much so.
Do you think that's going to be Ruby's sort of Rose-esque, like, whoa, look, that's space and that's the Earth?
I think so. Are these brains in these tanks on the sides?
I don't know. The one on the left-hand side looks like the little testicle 10th Doctor from the Series 3 finale.
There we are.
The wizard testicle.
You've heard it here first, folks. Wizened testicle Doctor returns.
Bollock who?
Some Regency dancing.
Yeah.
Mr. Goth, who may or may not be Captain Jack Harkness, who knows?
I think that look, the way they look at each other, the fact that the episode is called Rogue, I think it's steering in that direction, because we know that Jack is a rogue time agent.
Yeah.
We know the whole, you know, roguish thing is obviously very his thing.
Yeah.
And just based off of this shot alone and Shooty's, you know, little narrowing of the eyes.
Yeah.
You know, I am going to put money on a snog between the two of them.
Oh, for sure. I think so. Yeah. I'd be shocked if it didn't happen.
Yeah.
This is so Bridgerton, which we heard in the last trailer.
That's,
I like
be
that
a
line.
Gag.
It drives Annie around the twist. She hates it. as a mega Jane Austen fan, she is not a fan of that. But I think it's fine because, you know, she's a 21st century girl. Is Ruby Sunday? I was going to call her Ruby Road then. No, it's Ruby Sunday.
Ruby
Sunday. Yeah, she doesn't read Jane Austen. She watches old shit like Bridgerton on Netflix.
She watches nonsense like Bridgerton.
I'm surprised that got in, because, you know, are Disney going to be like, you can't talk about the other side. You can't talk about the other streaming platform.
No, I don't think so. I mean, bloody hell, Big Brother turned up in the first series of Doctor Who, and that was
true.
A Channel 4
that is true.
Thing. So
that
I've been watching
true.
Old clips of old compilations of Big Brother fights. Oh,
really?
My God. What a load of rubbish that show was. It's hilarious. Just the best. I watched the fight night episode between, oh my God, who is it? Barrymore.
Oh yeah.
Pete Burns.
Right. Oh God, yeah.
George Garraway. Is that his name? George.
Galloway. Is it Galloway?
Galloway. Yeah. Kate Garraway. Preston and bloody Dennis Rodman. It was just trash, and the most anxiety inducing trash you can imagine. People taking actual emotional lumps out of each other for our entertainment.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Great
it's
stuff.
Like Doctor Who Twitter.
Very much so. Yeah. We should just record that. Put that on the telly.
We should.
so Bridgerton. Then a shot of Ruby from Stephen Moffat's episode.
Yeah.
Then Ruby coming out of the TARDIS from, I guess, Space Babies.
Yeah.
Then more Space Babies. Right, okay. So now we go back to Regency times, and we have this lady saying, Ruby, you are wild, brave, and rude. Now, Annie said, if that's Jane Austen, she's going to go insane because she won't be happy. But...
Is that a Jane Austen-ism? Is that a Jane Austen line?
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all. No.
Because I did have a look on the on that graphic that came up for the episode title. It's an invitation to a party.
Yes.
And I did Google the duchesses mentioned in it. And I was thinking either they're going to be historical figures and we've got like a Villa Diodati thing going on, or they're going to be fictional kind of Jane Austen-y kind of things, but nothing came up. So I wonder if it's, I don't know. I think if they were going to go Jane Austen, they'd make more of a deal out of it, you know?
Yeah.
It would be in the title.
They probably would have announced by now that there was going to be a historical with Jane Austen. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
So Ruby pulling a face at, I assume, the Doctor and the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Again, more stuff from I was going to say spider babies, space babies.
Spider babies. Oh, Jesus.
Spider baby. It's a baby with the head of a spider and the body of a baby, or whatever way around it is. The Doctor's getting his face melted off by some flames.
Yeah.
You made it worse. Doctor pops out of the TARDIS in his Beatles gear.
Abbey Road.
In Dapper. Oh, right. Abbey Road. Now, I'm seeing a lot of people on Twitter going, that looks nothing like Abbey Road. Billy, as our resident Beatles fan, what do you think of Abbey Road, Cardiff?
Abbey Road. Abbey Road.
Abbey Road.
Abbey the Road. It's not Abbey Road, but they've done a good job of finding a place. I mean, like, the road is too wide for a start.
Yeah.
They have absolutely gone to the right people to find those cars. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if the license plates are correct, because that ties into the whole Paul is dead thing.
That might be something
they lean into for this story, because that's like too good an urban myth for Doctor Who not to touch at some point, you know? But yeah, it's not Abbey Road. But I saw, I think it was Harry Draper on Twitter was sort of saying, it's like the telly fantasy view of what we have of Abbey Road.
It's a
tree-lined street. It's a fucking, you know,
zebra crossing.
It's a zebra crossing. Like, what more do you want? It's fine. And like, they've done the walk across Abbey Road with Jenna and Peter.
Yes,
and the Daleks. You know, like, if you're worried about Doctor Who never doing that, they've done it for a promo picture. It's fine. If it's not Abbey Road. Yeah, kind of interested to see if that's the only appearance of it in the episode, or if the Doctor sort of sneaks an idea. Like, I've got a great idea. If you guys are too stoned to get up from, you know, your your instruments, just go and take a photo out on the road outside, and people will think it's a masterpiece.
Well, we can only hope. So
we can only hope.
Big spaceship, big space station type thing. That looks very much like Coruscant from Star Wars, the planet beneath it. But Yeah, very much so. That, or it's like some weird Gallifreyan text that they've just stamped on the planet.
They're borrowing assets and sort of like sharing.
Like,
them between.
We just need a planet. Shit, just drop that in. Where should we go? Anywhere. Oh, okay, right. We got talking babies. Talking babies.
Yeah.
Space babies.
Babies in space.
I thought there were a lot of hairy babies here in this competition.
And Shooty with that mustache would be the hairy baby maker.
Hairy baby maker.
There's a very, in fact, there is quite a pat looking one on the bottom left here with that mohawk.
Yes, I was just thinking that.
A bit Pat Mustardy. I think everybody should send us their edit of these babies with mustaches now. Yeah.
If you put that baby's mustache and that baby's sideburns, you get Pat Mustard.
You get Shooty Gaffer.
Shooty Gaffer.
What do you think of the space babies thing? I mean, it's going to be a runaround. It's going to be something to scare the kids. It's silly. It's daft.
I mean, the monster
and these
looks
babies
cool.
Are going to be signing autographs in hotel lobbies for the next 90 years.
I was a space baby.
I was the hairy baby there on the left.
Mohawk baby.
If I had a child now, I would just say, yeah, it's that one down there. That's get to work. Sign those autographs.
Brilliant. Yeah. I mean, there was some criticism about the CGI, I think, on making the babies talk. But I think you're always going to have that problem when you're trying to get something that doesn't talk to talk.
Precisely. I mean, it's not quite like Air Buddies level of obviously not talking.
Yeah.
But maybe they just picked a bad shot. It's good. I'm looking forward to that one, because it's definitely a conceit. It's very Russell, and it's definitely something that I think would have wound me up before I stopped caring so deeply about Doctor Who annoying me. You know?
You know, is it going to be another Space Pirates? Space Babies?
Space Babies. I mean, the dialogue's probably going to be better coming out of those babies' mouths than anything in Space Pirates.
I mean, at least it's only an hour and not like 6 hours.
True, true.
She's out of Space Pirates film. So yeah, Space Babies. Oh, isn't the universe mad again? More Space Babies.
Yeah.
Let's have a random landing. So is that the randomizer, do we think, getting used?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. I'm loving the lighting. The shots. Yes. I'm loving all the stuff we're seeing in the TARDIS for this one. It just looks so good. It's where does it rank for you? And now we're seeing a bit more of it in action. Where does it rank for you for New Who interiors?
Oh, I mean, I do love the Capaldi one. And I think I'll always have that Capaldi one because we went there and we got to spend an hour running around it and playing with all the buttons. So I think that one will probably always rank very highly at the top for me. Mm. But I think this is probably the second best, at least, or, you know, if not joint first, because it's just so good, isn't it? It's just fantastic.
I'd agree. I think the more we see of it in action and the more stuff that happens in it and the more...
Yeah.
iconic quote-unquote moments that occur, it will probably shift up for me, but it's up there as well.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's a lovely TARDIS. Is it safe? Okay, so then we've got this might be from the dot one, isn't it? Dot bubble.
I think so, yeah. I think so. So that's the... And we know as well that some of the stuff with the slugs, people were in like 50s gear. So unless that's just... the way they dress on this planet, or there is like a time travel element to it.
Oh yeah, maybe.
Interesting to see.
Yeah, so this is the slug episode, which we see here. Now look, there's like as I've paused it on the slug, it says forward on the top, like almost someone's like looking at it, and there's some sort of a filter over the top. Mm. Interesting, whatever that means.
Maybe that kind of ties into like the kind of social media, like comms sort of thing.
Interesting, but it looks cool that slug. Then we've got another shot from the Devil's Chord inside the TARDIS. Looks like a bit of a rough landing. Back to Space Babies and that great shot of the monster, which looks really cool.
Really
cool. Nice that it kick starts the season off with a scary monster,
a good monster. Bogeyman.
Which makes sense with the Space Babies. You know, what's the story that you tell your kids? It's the bogeyman coming to get you.
Maybe, it'll be like the legend that the babies in baby society have of the bogeyman. They've all been
baby society.
Baby society, yeah.
We are the society of babies.
We are the society. Why are they all Irish? They're all, I mean, they're all fantastic babies.
They're hairy babies.
When there is an Irish baby amongst that group, we're going to lose our shit.
Pat Mustard's baby. Right, so then the sort of frivolity of the trailer dissipates, and then things get serious. So we've got a nice shot of the TARDIS and Ruby from Stephen Moffat's episode. Boom. Listen to me, says the Doctor. This is what we're trying to stop. All of life extinguished. So again, we got more of those like fluxy type shots that we talked about last time. Cutting back to that conversation with... Carla,
yeah,
Doctor, in his pedestrian jumper.
Now, I want to point out a shot here.
Yes,
of Ruby. That kind of looks like her street.
It does, doesn't it?
But she's not wearing her costume from Ruby Road, so I wonder, just with the way it's kind of framed, and it's got a sort of...
Yeah, that sort of,
you know,
motion.
Kind of prophetic moment kind of thing. And the way she's looking, do you reckon she's either looking at home or maybe at Mrs. Flood's house and something Mrs. Floody has happened?
Oh, maybe.
She's exposed her mossy bush.
she may very well have done. She may have
mossy bush t-shirts available right now on the Review of Death Spring store.
God. So will you keep her safe? I will keep her safe. So then we got a bit of a teary-eyed shot from the Doctor.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot more of the kind of emotional, impactful performances from Shooty. Like,
yes.
There's a bit later on where he's like taking charge, and then obviously there's this emotional bit here.
More stuff from Space Babies. Right, so we've got the shot again of London getting covered in dust. Now, someone is saying there's a storm coming. Now, who is that? Because that's...
Let's listen to that again.
Have a little listen. It's no, I don't think it's anyone that we know.
No.
Someone is saying that there's a storm coming. I hate that line.
Full voice.
Because it is used in absolutely everything.
There's a storm coming.
Yeah. Everything uses
it. I'm sure I was listening to a review of The Force Awakens and they played the trailer at the start and there's Kylo, there's a storm coming. Yeah, I'm sure.
It's used in everything. It is used in everything. It's just like, oh, what sounds ominous? There's a storm coming.
There's a storm coming bloody everywhere. Chill out.
Yeah. What's more ominous than that? Oh, there's a bad bowel movement coming.
Brewing.
Yeah, they're far
It's on its way. If I lift my leg, we're all going to get hit by it.
There's a shark brewing.
There's a shark blooming.
It could mean danger for all of us. Right, so then we got Jinx Monsoon popping out the piano.
TARDIS. Is a TARDIS.
You think it's a TARDIS?
It's a TARDIS.
You think it's a TARDIS? I don't know. I think she's just...
Jinx Monsoon appearing at the start of the episode out of the TARDIS, out of her TARDIS, out of their TARDIS, on the roof, ready to cause some mischief, part of the Toymakers Legions. It's got to be a TARDIS. Why is it on the roof?
I think it's... Oh, yeah, that is true, actually. Why is it on the roof?
Because we know that the finale, the big climax of the episode, takes place in one of the studios.
Yeah, true. True. But maybe she's... Because she says... Well, the line is... You called... Camping it up. No end. I mean, this could be from season 24. This has got a very season 24 vibe already. I don't know if I think it's the TARDIS.
Okay.
I think when she says you called, I think she's been summoned. I think she is the force of music. And I think maybe by playing the devil's chord or something, it has brought her through and she pops out of the piano. Maybe someone has played it on the piano, the musical incantation, and summoned her like a genie.
There was I can't remember exactly what the plinky plonk was, but there was in the 4 second video clip,
it like was
dun 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 dun, or where that's this is your life.
That was weakest link.
That was weakest link. Sorry, there was something like that being played, and I kind of thought, is that a reference to the giggle? Because we obviously know that the sort of sound wave and something being carried in a song was quite thematic there. I'm looking forward to the episode in a couple of seasons time where they smash into the 70s and Ozzy and the rest of Black Sabbath are sat around doing some sort of satanic incantation and suddenly Jinx Monsoon pops up out of nowhere and writes Paranoid for them. That'll be magnificent.
Perfect. Yeah, you've heard it here first. That's the sequel.
Nobody Ozzy. Will believe Ozzy.
Yeah.
Pretty woman came with him in the air, man. No one. Sure, Ozzy. Of course, Ozzy. Yes, they did.
Anyway.
I just want to get my Ozzy in there.
Moving on from acid Ozzy Osbourne. more devil's chord. Honey, I'm a much bigger bang than you bargain for.
Yeah, love it.
Honey.
Darling.
I will shatter this silly little battlefield into dust.
I'm going to wager that was part of his audition speech, because that sounds like quite a, that line in the sand thing that Stephen Moffat wrote.
Yeah.
It's, is that kind of vibe.
It
sounds like, can you do that?
Yes.
And I think that will be the thing through these episodes is we'll get, everybody will show their range.
Yeah.
And I think, Shooter will have those bits where we're kind of like, oh, yeah, he can do the serious bits.
Yeah. I mean, and that's really the sort of side of him that we haven't seen yet, is it? Like you said, that line in the sand business. So some nice shots of Shooty walking pensively towards the camera. Again, I guess that might be from the Stephen Moffat episode. because he's got the white t-shirt on and the combat boots mm-hmm. and the trousers. And then, of course, we do have him in the, I don't want to say it's a minefield, but he's him stood on the mine from that episode. So we know what that dialogue's from. It's from that episode. Shots of the TARDIS from the title sequence. More shots of Shooty from Devil's Cord.
That one of Ruby looks like Bristol as well to me.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. And then we have the Doctor saying...
Oh, yeah, there it is. Then we fade into it. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't have a people. I don't have a home, but I have freedom. And then we've just got lots of little shots. Again, walking with dinosaurs that we saw last time. Catching monsters. And we've got a shot here of, is it Captain Jack? Is it not Captain Jack?
Look at that gun, Matt. Look at that gun. It's Jack's gun.
And it looks similar to Jack's gun, but it looks like almost more primitive. So is this like an early Jack? Maybe.
Or he's like, it needs to blend in a little bit, so it's kind of muskety.
Maybe. Interesting.
Mm.
Interesting. We shall see. So there's that shot of the Doctor stepping on the landmine and thinking, oh, bugger. I've done this before in Genesis of the Daleks.
and now I don't have Harry.
Yeah, where's Harry? Ruby, go in the TARDIS, go and pick up a man called Harry Sullivan and get him to come here and sort this out.
He's really good at precisely placing rocks.
Yeah.
I never saw any of his other kind of medical credentials, but he's good at rocks.
Yeah. If being a doctor didn't work out for him, then he had a really good future in minefield disposal. Ruby in the snow.
Now that's
doctor.
Indoors. That's inside Unit HQ. Well, look. It looks to me like
is that
the
inside?
Kind of.
Well, it could be
the hub of
actually?
Unit HQ. So.
Oh yeah.
I wonder if that's kind of similar to the shot we saw from the last trailer. It might be in this one as well, where they're looking up and the snow's falling. So that seems to be a bit of a motif, and then we see that again, or it's Ash. From the
cloud thing, interesting.
But the other thing that's making me think it's snow is in the 76 yards graphic with the pub sign. It's snowing in that, so it could be from that episode as well.
Could be from there. Interesting. More Devil's Cord, Shooty, the music notes wrapped around what's her face, like we saw last time.
Yeah.
Getting into scrapes, so I keep moving on. More nice CGI shots of the TARDIS, the space station. Yeah. That shot that was one of the early teasers, wasn't it, of Shooty Gatwa? That we saw before again, I think, from Super Moffat's episode. Bit of space, bit of TARDIS. Right. A lot of dancing and jiving. So the Doctor's really, really going for it in the musical episode.
He really is.
We'll see what that's like when it airs. I've seen a few people on Twitter have been like, you know, it seems to be a very Marmite thing, this. It's either you love the idea or you hate the idea of this happening. I am all for a musical episode. I've been saying this for years. I'd love to see a musical episode. But, you know, I will have to say it all depends on how it's done. You know, we can't have... If it's done like bloody... Christmas special where they just start singing out of the blue for no reason at all, then I'm just gonna be like...
I don't think it will. I mean, at least that has sort of sowed the seeds of they are going to do that at some point. And it's, you know, kind of part of the show is that they do kind of different things like that now. But, I mean, given the fact we know it's the Beatles, we know it's Abbey Road, we know it's a villain that can seemingly control music or has some elemental... influence over music and sound, then you know, it all makes sense.
Yeah, fingers crossed. So that looks good. Doctor's got a butterfly. That's probably from the episode. Oh, that's that bit, isn't it? That's that sequence when she steps on the butterfly. Do you think he goes back in time and comes back and stops her from stepping on the butterfly?
Yeah, totally. And maybe that will play into the whole thing of, you know, changing time and
things
being altered and all of that. Because
Thank you to everyone who pointed out in the comments last time when we said, don't think they've ever done the butterfly effect in Doctor Who, where we were shown our cards by people saying, actually, I think you'll find it's in the Shakespeare Code and in Thin Ice.
Thank you, Menace Spreads, for posting the clip of us.
Oh, was
Twitter.
It? Yes, it was on Twitter as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Yeah. So we're Doctor Who fans. We know everything.
We keep telling everybody that we don't like this show. Like, why don't you just believe us for once?
More dancing in the rain, singing in the rain. Yeah. Abbey Road Studios. Billy, did Abbey Road Studios have a sprinkler system? You'd know, seemingly.
I would imagine probably, yes.
More dancing. Right, another shot of Billy's favourite costume. Beanie and duffel coat. Yeah, I like it. He looks all right. TARDIS shot. Is now, yes. Is this what you were saying about the snow?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's in his finale outfit. He's got his leather jacket on. So
okay.
That makes sense. And it does look like that could be Unit HQ.
Yeah.
And then we've cut to the Doctor talking to the camera. That's just the beginning. Brilliant. And then we've got this. Is this going to be the new logo in the title sequence? That green Doctor Who?
They've had time to do it. They've had time to tart it up, haven't they?
They have. I'd be sad if it wasn't, because it looks a lot nicer than just putting the TARDIS, the Doctor Who logo PNG in there.
It looks really nice. But then you've also got to think how much has already been released with the Master Blue logo and how much is already in production, you know, with that stuff on. So, I mean, maybe that's what we'll see in the show for the rest of this run.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't shock me if, you know, say this is the one that is permanent, if we keep the blue one around on merch for another sort of 16 months.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, the disparity between the logo on telly and the logo on merchandise, you know, that is always been there.
Exactly.
So I think you enjoying your noodles.
Sorry. Yes. Entertaining children and then coming in to record leaves very little time to eat.
Nicely done.
That's my excuse.
That's your excuse. But there we are. That was it. That was the trailer. What did you think overall?
Great. I liked the Bowie one, obviously, because it was like, it was kind of like what you'd expect from a Doctor Who movie.
Yeah.
You know, with that kind of use of popular music.
Yeah.
But nice to get a sort of a trailer that wasn't, not hindered, but wasn't sort of like sticking to using that as a thematic loop and, you know, having all the everything changes again stuff appearing on screen.
Yeah.
Couple of extra clips, and also nice to get a BBC exclusive one. Like you say, this is probably the one that would appear on all of the home media, because it's about the same length as the other one. And gets around having to pay the Bowie estates many millions over the next couple of decades.
Yeah, very much so. I thought it was good. And, you know, like we said, nice to see another aspect of Shooty's Doctor. It looked good. It looked good. But again, you know, we shall see come May the 11th what we think of these stories, especially the first two. Anyway. So shall we talk about the titles?
Yes.
Titles that were announced over the weekend.
So, episode one, Space Babies, written by Russell T. Davis, Bogeymen or Bogeyman, and Boss Babies on Acid or Pat Mustard.
Pat Mustard's
Pat
Babies.
Mustard Offspring. Pat Mustard's Babies. The Devil's Chord, we knew that from a long time ago. Beatles and Jinx Monsoon. I googled on that graphic, there's a name written on the sheet music. It says Timothy Drake.
Yeah.
Which I googled, couldn't find any mention of a Timothy Drake that, you know, was part of the orchestral backing for Beatles tunes, because I kind of assumed that
he was the third Robin, though.
I did. As soon as I put Timothy Drake in, I got lots of photos of people wearing their underwear on the outside of their trousers, and I thought, that's Matt's
Yeah,
bag.
that is my bag. Yeah, that is Robin number three. So, yeah, how he fits into this, we will have to see.
God knows. God knows. I mean, expanded universe. Oh no, it's DC, so it's not going to
Yeah,
be
it's
Disney.
not Disney. Hang on, what year is this?
Well, if
60
it's,
what?
I'm going to say 64.
So it's a bit too early for Burt Ward to be playing Robin, but okay. And obviously he's Dick Grayson, not Tim Drake, but okay. Yeah,
Obviously.
obviously. Episode three. Boom!
Boom. Shooty light, do we reckon?
It'll be shooty light if that landmine goes off underneath him.
Shooty
Yeah.
light
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it might be light on him moving around because he's might be just glued. I reckon he's going to be glued to that landmine for most of the
I
story.
agree. But I
Yeah.
was sort of thinking, was that one where, Russell was like, oh, his schedule is just
Yeah.
has, has gone up another level. We
Yeah.
need studio based. We need, the doctor to be confined to that one location for the whole thing.
Yeah.
We've got Shooty in the studio for a day and a half.
Yeah.
What can we do with him? Who can I turn to put this together at last minute with a cool conceit? And that's
Yeah.
how Stephen got roped in, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if we assume that this was all shot in a studio, and if he is stuck to one place, well, you could do a lot of that with body doubles, for those wide shots, and stuff. So yeah, I think potentially because we know he was still recording Sex Education at the start. So yeah, that makes sense. Then it's 73 Yards, which was the one with the pub, wasn't it? The pub
So
sign.
I reckon maybe another shooty light.
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
And I think that's the clips we saw before of Ruby in the pub and
Yeah.
all that sort of stuff. So that this could be, her sort of on her own doing things. But then there's another one later on, which I also think could be that. So there might be a couple of episodes here that noticeably shooty is not
Yeah.
a main focus or kind of pops up to bookend it.
Yeah. What do you think about that? Do you think, oh, is that a bit weird for his first season? I mean, I know obviously we had Father's Day for series one
Chris,
for Chris. Yeah, I forgot who he was. Was there another one that season? Another light one?
I'm not sure there was, I
No.
think that it became part of the show so that they could trade like fees,
Yeah.
like an increased fee for, a guest cast, and that makes sense. And I think that it also gives Doctor Who, in a average run, you're always going to get that episode, so it's something challenging and something different
Yeah.
that you can sort of slot in, and it becomes part of the format. But
Yeah.
I think it's going to be fine. I think they would have found ways to use him, and I
Yeah.
think that, maybe there was just like a major overrun that they just didn't. They
Count on.
just it's one of
Yeah.
those things, and they had to work around it. So I'm sure they've done everything they can to make sure it's seamless.
Yeah. Ben Dot and Bubble. Doc Cotton comes back from the dead. Again, written by Russell T. Davies. So obviously we a lot of Russell this season. Russell has basically written everything bar two episodes. The next one, Rogue, which is written not by Russell. We've got Kate Herron and Bryony Redmond. So these are the people from Loki. I don't know if one was a director and one was a writer on Loki. I don't know if they were both writers. I think it was something like that. But yes, they're doing the Regency episode. Then we've got The Legend of Ruby Sunday. Again, by Russell.
This is the other one that's a shooty light, I think. And
Yeah.
interesting on the graphic, it was very sort of TV camera, TV screen
Oh, yes, it was, wasn't it?
oriented.
I couldn't remember what that one was. Yeah.
I wonder maybe if that loops back to long lost families, Davina.
Oh yes.
Possibly.
Oh maybe. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. That would make sense. Now do we reckon this is a two-parter? Do we reckon these two link into each other, maybe?
Yeah, maybe the kind of the main threat sort of rears its head in Legend of Ruby Sunday and then makes its presence clear by the end, and then maybe the cliffhanger going into it is the Doctor still hasn't turned up.
Yeah.
And then we start Empire of Death and it's, you know, right into it and he's back into the mix.
Yeah. So then, yeah, Empire of Death, a proper Doctor Who title, if any. Oh, I mean, beautiful. You know, nice to see Of Death coming back, makes a comeback.
Thank you, Russell.
Our podcast title suddenly makes a bit more sense. People who are like, what is this all about? Yeah, Empire of Death, which is apparently already a BBC novel. So that is going to upset a lot of people in the Doctor Who expanded media section of the fandom. Who are going to be like, when I refer to TARDIS Wiki, how will I know if I'm looking at the novel or the TV episode? And then this undoubtedly might get turned into a Doctor Who Target novelization. So there'll be two books.
Speaking of, when you type in Doctor Who Season 1 on Wikipedia,
yeah,
this article is about the 1963-64 season. For the 2005 series, see Doctor Who Series 1. For the 2024 series, marketed as Season 1, see Doctor Who Series 14.
Wow.
Pardon?
What a mess.
That's impenetrable.
What a mess. I love how someone was like on TARDIS Wiki was like, no. It's series 14. I'm sticking my flag in the sand. You're not going to make me change it. Bugger you, BBC.
Get a life. the graphic video had the Empire of Death written across the TARDIS signage, and the TARDIS was sort of glitching out and was sort of in the dark. So I wonder if that was that the TARDIS is sort of sat inside one of those dust clouds maybe or something like that.
Well, I wonder if it's all linked to the TARDIS in, you know, is it all going back to that Wild Blue Yonder stuff? You know, Russell's already teased that the sparks coming off the TARDIS in the Time Vortex is important. You know, perhaps TARDIS, I mean, someone very nicely said that it reminded them of my Doctor Who action figure adventures where the Master comes back hijacking the TARDIS. Yeah, so maybe Russell's a bit of a fan.
we know he coppers you. and also the thing we mentioned before with Susan Twist, S Twist,
yes,
TARDIS.
Could
be linked.
Could be, yeah. Maybe Susan Twist is the TARDIS, like you said. Maybe it's anthropomorphized TARDIS.
Something mad like that, it could be. Which again makes me think that maybe Jinx is coming out of a TARDIS if it's TARDIS oriented, and because there are so many shots of it. It was the first thing that we noticed before we got into S Twist and talking about the sparks again in the last one was how many beauty shots there are of the TARDIS in the trailer. It does seem like it's going to be a primary thematic focus.
Very much so. Very much so. So that's it. Anything else you want to add?
I want to talk a little bit. We don't have to go into it too much, but I'd like to kind of bring it up because it's something that's happening sort of in the wider media industry that's causing a lot of stress and strife for anyone who works in it. So that includes myself on my behalf and all of that. And it sort of ties into Disney, Doctor Who, and the BBC.
Yeah.
Russell T. Davies did an interview for The Guardian, which was headlined, Russell T. Davies says end of BBC is undoubtedly on its way. And I'll skim through some of the quotes. So we were speaking on a television podcast called They Like to Watch. Sorry, it wasn't an interview with The Guardian. And he explains a good reason for the fantasy drama being co-produced with Disney. It means that its survival doesn't require the continued existence of the BBC. And he says, you've got to look in the long term at the end of the BBC, which is undoubtedly on its way in some shape or form. Is Doctor Who going to die then? No, you've got to prepare for that kind of stuff. Particularly in a world where high budget productions are increasing the norm, Doctor Who needs to be up there with the big hitters. And really interesting. I'm not saying we're prophetic or anything, or that Russell does watch the podcast, but go back to the very first episodes of The Review of Death. We talked about this.
We talked about
is the future of Doctor Who Netflix or Disney? And we both sort of said, I think that that's just what happens now. And I think that is the sensible move.
Yeah.
So, you know, interesting to know that that conversation has been happening. And I wanted to know what you thought of this quote, because it seemed targeted towards Matthew Toffolo.
I know.
If Disney collapsed tomorrow and we had to go back to making Doctor Who on a normal BBC budget, you know what? We'd all rally round and make it. And suddenly the stories would become claustrophobic ghost stories. A lot of people, particularly mustachioed Bristolian Italians, would like that very much. So I'm not saying you have to have this happen, but while it's happening elsewhere, I think it's unfair that it doesn't happen to Doctor Who. So what do you think of that? Because this isn't Russell saying that those stories are never going to be told again.
No, I think that's it. You know, I think I'd be more annoyed if that was the suggestion that, you know, we're not going to tell these stories because we don't have to tell these stories. You know, Russell's own Midnight is a claustrophobic, incredibly low budget story, and it just also happens to be probably his best Doctor Who story, maybe alongside Wild Blue Yonder. I mean, Wild Blue Yonder is just, let's do Midnight with a big budget, really. But I think, you know, it would be a shame to lose those sorts of stories, because those sorts of stories are, the, you know, some of Doctor Who's greatest stories. I mean, we talked about Horror Fang Rock the other day.
Yeah.
You know, it's superb. You know, like I just said, Midnight is another outlier from the modern era. So I think it would be a shame for them to think, oh, well, we're on Disney now, so we have to do everything big, because I don't think Doctor Who always needs to be big. So I hope there is some conscious thought behind that, and that they think, well, actually, you know, if the story is worth telling, then it needs to be told in the right way. If it requires a big budget, we can do that. If it doesn't require a big budget, well, then we can use the big budget of this story on a story that needs it. And this can be the quiet, spooky ghost story. You know, I don't.
And they know that. I think, you know, like, having worked with a BBC budget for many, many years, they know that they can basically just do this. They could just do the same thing, just allocate it the same way. Here's the quiet one. Here's the loud one.
Yeah.
But it's just that the quiet one has another 10, 20 million attached to it than it did before, or whatever, however that kind of works.
Yeah.
Interesting as well, he goes on to talk a little bit about his kind of place within Doctor Who, the success of the reboot, its profitability and so on, and that the Cardiff-based Doctor Who experience closed due to lack of profitability, costing taxpayers £1.1 million.
Ouch.
Ouch, indeed.
Yeah.
That's kind of a shock and kind of not. I mean, it's a niche thing. I think the BBC's dreams of having its kind of Disneyland for TV, I think, will always be sort of bubbling away. And I think the Doctor Who experience shows that you can do something like that, but it probably needs to cater for more than just anoraks.
Yeah, very much so. And I think the problem with the Doctor Who experience was that maybe it would have been better to just do it as an exhibition. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The, you know, lower cost in terms of ticket prices to get in. You then have to cut out. The experience part was never much of an experience, let's be honest. You know?
Oh, it was the first time. And
the first time.
We saw kids in there lose their shit and have the best time of their life.
Yeah, for sure. The first time is fine, but then when you have to keep doing it every other time, and I'm like, I just want to see the Yeti.
I just want to see a flaking Silurian.
Yeah, that they've just added a flaking Silurian. A Silurian in desperate need of a dermatologist. you know, then that gets annoying. And then you always have some, like, bloody cringy person at the front who's like, Hello, I am Cardinal Blobberjob from the Time Lords. Listen to this recording from Romana. I'm just like, oh, shut up. I just want to see the costumes.
But love it or lose it, and we lost it. And many people loved it, but
yeah,
it's okay. If it comes back, I mean, we're flying to Florida to do that at Disneyland World, aren't we? Let's be honest.
Oh no, they're not gonna ship all that stuff over there, surely. And well, they're shipping a load of stuff to New Zealand, aren't they? So
that's true. Yeah, that's true. No, I think they
for
could
the
do
two people down there who watch Doctor Who.
That opening day is going to be massive. You know, all of the invited guests.
Yeah.
The mayor of Wellington, the mayor's wife of Wellington. You know.
What's this? What are we coming here for? Doctor Who? What?
Doctor what? It's kind of a rolling contract Russell talks about with his kind of relationship with the BBC. He says, it's very free. If I had enough tomorrow, I could walk out. I wouldn't walk out because I'd let people down, but nothing could trap me. I could never be in a situation where I had to write things. Because you read the writer's tale and you just see the shit he was putting himself through and you think, fair enough, you don't want to get tied down. I'm talking as though that's about to happen. That's not about to happen. I love it, but oh my God, I'd never be stuck sitting somewhere going, I must do 5 years here. Never. Yeah. I'm too old for that now. And I think that it's fair to say that Russell, I think this is Russell, if he's taking so much care to take Doctor Who away from an organization that if it folds will take Doctor Who with it.
Mm.
And the custodians who, you know, whether or not they know what they're doing in Broadcasting House or, you know, in Media City or whatever, the people that are in charge of the BBC aren't going to run the show like Russell is.
No.
I would not be shocked if this is Russell for life. Maybe not as head writer, but as the Kevin Feige of Doctor Who. And that is what he does now until he finds his successor and white smoke comes out of the roof of Bad Wolf Studios.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, looking at the list of episodes coming out this year and how many are written by Russell, you know, I do wonder, is that him thinking like, well, I've got these ideas, I want to get them out of the way and, you know, put the stamp on the show. This is the template of what this show can be. And now once I've front loaded it myself, and now I can sort of slowly take more of a step back while I allow other writers to come in and I am curating their work rather than having to do all of the, you know, the heavy lifting. I don't know. That could be complete nonsense, but
I think that's probably true. And I wonder, do we think there's a brand manager there like there used to be with,
I think there might be
Eddie
I
Baby think, Russell. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Okay. Cause like that was an interesting time.
Yeah.
You know, where we had somebody in charge of the brand and it almost felt like people pulling in two separate directions, or there was a, you know, it didn't necessarily feel cohesive sometimes.
Yeah.
But I wonder if Russell sort of takes more of that duty on.
Yeah.
These days, you know, if he's the one looking over books that are coming out with the logo on it and having final say over what Big Finish have planned for the next 18 months.
I would have thought so. I mean, I think he was pretty hands-on the first time round. So I would imagine that he's probably got quite a keen interest on what is happening, you know, and what's coming out. So, yeah, you know, maybe it will be a Kevin Feige type role the longer it goes on. But I mean, he's made remarks about doing like a series four, hasn't he, of this new run. So, you know, clearly he wants to stick around for a little while. I mean, we've put two in the can already, so it's kind of crazy.
Precisely. And that's a new model as well, I guess, is the fact that, you know, we're coming towards the end of, we're coming towards series one being broadcast. And do we know, have they finished season two or?
I don't know. No idea.
It's almost like been so well distracted by this new series coming out that, you know, we haven't been keeping an eye on what's coming up for season two and
no
what everyone's been up to.
Only the new companion stuff.
That was a long time ago.
And that's died away, yeah. And there's been, you know, no direct confirmation on anything from the BBC or Russell or anyone like that. So, yeah, interesting. It'll be interesting to see how that information finally comes out. And, yeah, I mean, obviously, we don't even know what Shooty Gatwa's plans are beyond the second series at the moment. You know, unless we start seeing series three being filmed and he's there front and center.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. It's interesting. But yeah, no, I thought that was an interesting little article, that, with Russell. But yeah, don't get rid of the quiet insular stories, because they're good.
They are. But with all that talk of season three, season four, and beyond, got to get season one out of the way first.
Well, So yeah, we'll see what we make of season one. Which is very close now, you know, it's only a month away. Yeah. Which is crazy. So we'll see you all then. But before that, we'll be back next time for our Ambassadors of Death review, which would have been today, but we thought, you know, it's trailer time. We got to talk about the new stuff. So
absolutely.
See you next time for the Ambassadors of Death. Goodbye.
Bye.